Smalls, welcome to Please Advise episode 9. I'm very excited about today's guest. She's an author. She's a cool lady. Her name's Kelly Oxford. Hey, Kelly, how are you?
Hello, I am doing very well, thank you.
Kelly, I feel like I've known you for a really long time, but I've probably just known you through the internet for a really long time.
Yeah.
How long have we known each other? Like 4 years?
Yeah, I think 4 years.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
One thing that you've written about online that I've always really loved, besides everything you do is so funny, it's your dream theories.
Oh, right. Yeah, the dream theory. It started when I noticed that everybody talks about their dreams at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, all of a sudden, somebody will be like, hey, I had the craziest dream last night. And then as you go through your day, somebody else is like, hey, I had the craziest dream last night. And I noticed it before I was on, like, social media a lot, like, before, like, Facebook and Twitter. But then once I was on Twitter every day, I started noticing people would tweet, like, about their dreams. Like, it would be like, oh, I had this crazy dream last night. And I'm like, oh, this happens, like, at the same time,
yeah,
all the time. So on my Tumblr, I kind of put it out there. I was like, hey, I've noticed everybody's having crazy dreams. Anybody else? And the feedback was insane. So many people were like, I never dream. And yeah, the last 3 nights, mm-hmm, I've had crazy dreams. So I don't know. You saw it on my Tumblr.
Yeah, I saw it on your Tumblr. And I'm, you know, I didn't dream for many years because I didn't remember it. I know everyone right. dreams, whatever. But I was like a stoner for a super long time, and then I quit pot for a year and a half, and I started dreaming again, yeah. like these like vivid, crazy night. I had like night terrors like every right. night, but then the craziest ones would come around the time that I would always see you
on the thing,
posting.
Right. Yeah. So I decided for a year I would like try and suss it out. So every time that I would, because I don't dream unless it's super, super vivid. Like, I don't remember my dreams at all.
Right.
So when it would be super vivid, then I would be like, oh, my God, everybody else is talking. And I know everybody really kind of hates talking about their dreams because they know it's stupid. Like, but they have to bring it up because it's so
– I love talking about them, but I know that other people don't
exactly.
hear it.
Nobody else wants to hear it. So you know it has to be, like, a super intense dream if, yeah. like, these certain people are even bringing it up. So I was like, okay, this is a real thing. So I would put it out there, like, oh, it's happening again. And I found that it was, like, over a period of, like, 2 to 3 months – there would be like no dreams and then it would happen, or it would be like 4 weeks and then it would kind of happen again. And so I did that for a year where I would just pick up on other people's cues. And then it got to a point after like 6 months where I would have like 2 crazy dreams and I hadn't posted about it, but people would start emailing me and yeah. going, it's happening again. Or people on Twitter would start tweeting me like, it's happening again. I'm dreaming again. And I'm like, yeah, well, that's fucking crazy. So am I. So I would put it up. Right. So after a year, I was like, why is this happening? And I started looking at like moon charts because I'm like, well, like the moon and the tide mm-hmm. and like periods, like
that
maybe
is
dreams
so,
too.
You're like, that's what my mom's whole thing is I'll be like, Mom, I'm having like a brutal period right now.
Right.
Gross. But like I'll call her and say that and she'll be like, yeah, she's like, look at the moons and the tides. And I'm like, Shauna, you're disgusting. But it's probably true.
But it's a real thing.
Yeah. But why do I call my mom with period drama? So you think it's moons?
It's like it is the moon. It was always like a new moon or it wasn't even a full moon. It was like when there was a full moon, new moon, but somewhere in those like weeks. But there was something else. I can't even remember now because it was like a year ago. But people definitely remember their dreams all at the same time. And it has something to do with being woken up in the middle of your cycle. So like we're way more because you – whatever. Like, you remember your dream if you wake up in the middle of it.
Really?
So we're, like, disrupted more when there's this, like, new moon, full moon thing. And that's why we're all remembering them at the same time. Like,
yeah.
we're more on edge. So it's got to be some primal thing where, like, when there's a new moon or a full moon, like, we have to be more wary. Like, maybe animals were crazy. Like,
yeah.
when we were living in caves and it was, like, a new moon. But we, like, wake up more frequently during those times.
How do you know that you remember the dreams you wake up during?
Yeah, that's how you remember your vivid dreams, is just by being disrupted in that sleep cycle.
But how do you know that?
I don't know. Scientists know that from like hooking us up to probes.
You're exactly
right. I just Googled it and
yeah.
it said like vivid dreaming is like from a disruption.
You're exactly right, because I always am like trying to go back to sleep to finish my dream.
And then does it work for you? It works for me every time.
Yeah, I get that.
I always get right back in.
And then I'm like trying to, and then I try to like hit control alt delete on that sometimes. I'll be like, why did I want to finish this?
Right.
This world, this world needs to end.
Too late. You're back in it. And then you're stuck until like 8 a.m.
I think that's so fast. I'm like all about dreams. I know a lot of people don't want to hear about dreams. I will hear about your dreams.
I know.
Me too.
I kind of feel like it's a second reality.
Yeah.
Like, and we're really there doing all that shit.
Well, also, it's so like telling when someone is dreaming these things. Like, my old roommate, Sarah, would have the craziest dreams, but like, it would always be like she was in a mall with Justin Timberlake, like holding hands and flying. And I'd be like, I love that that's what's going on in your subconscious.
Head. Right.
And like, that's like, because when I'm in a dream, I'm usually like running from my rapist. Like,
right. I dream about war a lot where I like know how to load guns. I have never touched a gun in my life. But in my dream, I'm like a big dude that like knows how to like work an AK. Like, I have no idea how I dream these things.
That's your past life. I bet that's your past life coming up.
Like some hot like Southern American guy that was like went to Iraq or something. Yeah. I think that's what it is, because I'm like, I will spend the whole night like hiding in some blown out like concrete building trying to shoot people.
Really?
Yeah, it's really fucking weird.
Well, that's also like, I think you're just trying to protect yourself, right?
I think
like,
so.
That's a metaphor for you.
I think it's just all like stress.
I had this gross dream where a guy kidnapped me. He was like my boyfriend. No, he was my boyfriend.
Your real boyfriend in real life?
No, like just some guy that was like my boyfriend, and he was like a faceless man. And sexy. Like he kept like doing like Chinese water torture to me, but with his dick. And so like he kept poking my ribs with his dick.
Yeah.
And I like woke up from that dream being like, I am forever changed.
Yeah. I'm gay now.
Yeah. This was the most upsetting thing that has ever happened to me.
Yeah.
I talked about it way too much. Like,
yeah, that's really, really disturbing.
Some of my coworkers probably heard that story three times and were like, this bitch is fucking nuts. But yeah, I'm so about dreams. So please, actually, you know what? If you think you have like really good dream advice, or if like advise me, because I need help. I really want to know more about my dreams. Why was that guy poking my ribs with his dick?
I don't know. That's really fucking weird.
Keeping me in line. Like, I would be like out in public and I'd try to be like,
it's like you're being dominated by cock.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Yeah.
So it was crazy. And I don't even think I, like, thought he was cute.
But he had no face.
He had no face. But
his penis was okay.
But I loved him. No, it was like,
but
it
you
was
loved
really
him.
Long,
no, I get that.
It was really long and skinny.
It was like a poker.
Yes. It was the craziest dream I've ever had. And I was upset because normally I don't see dicks in my dreams.
No.
But I did in this one.
Yeah, no. I don't see dicks in my dreams normally either.
No.
That's
they
so
never
funny.
Come up. I guess guys have sex dreams a lot. I don't think I really do.
I have lots of sex dreams, but I never really see the dick.
No. No.
You just feel it.
I guess so.
You don't look at it.
That's probably like super true. You guys, we're going to take your calls. This is a cool transition. We're going to take your calls. If you want to call in and get advice, you can call 323-450-7408. And let's do the calls for this week.
Okay.
Hey, Molly. Okay. So here's the situation. I'm 24. And I started smoking weed about, like, 6 months ago. And, like, none of my really close friends that I've had for a really long time, none of them smoke. And they're very, like, anti-drugs of, like, any kind. Like, they hate it. They think it's annoying. They think that stoners are, like, dirtballs, you know. And I haven't told them that I smoke, and I feel like if I did tell them that they would freak out and like not, they would probably give me an ultimatum of some sort and they would try to get me to stop. And, I feel like it's a personal choice. I feel like it's not like hurting myself or anybody. It makes me feel more creative and happy. And, I don't see myself stopping for them, which makes me feel like an asshole because I know that friendship is about compromise. And it just makes me feel really guilty because to them, it would be like I was throwing our friendship away over drugs, which would suck. You know, like, if one of my friends started smoking heroin, like, or shooting heroin, or, like, smoking crack or whatever, I would probably give them some sort of ultimatum, and if they walked away from me, I would think that they were, you know, terrible. So I get it, but, like, it's not heroin, it's weed, you know? So I guess I just want your advice on, like, really what I should do. Should I keep hiding it from them, or what? Because they're good people, and I really do value their friendship, but, yeah, like I said, it's a personal decision. I don't feel like I'm hurting anybody. I love you, Molly. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Well, I'm not a big lying to your friends person, especially about drugs. I feel like when you start lying about drugs, that's usually a real bad sign. But, like, you're just smoking pot. Like, you answered your own question. You know the answer, which is, like, pot's not going to kill you. Kelly, what do you think?
I agree. I agree with everything Molly just said. I mean, you don't have to tell them anything. You're not changing your relationship with them. I can see their point where you are hiding something, where they could be mad because they're anti-drug, if they see weed as, like, a super bad thing. But I think that if you can, like, maybe, like, don't get super, super stoned if you're going to be alone with one friend, and respect that.
Yeah.
I mean, get stoned on your own time.
Yeah.
Because you've got a lot of your own time mm-hmm. where you're not with your friends. And yeah. then, like, maybe don't get stoned if you're with them. But if you're going to a club with them or something, then, yeah, get stoned. They're drinking.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
They won't notice. They won't care. But if you're just, like, going to go to your friend's house, like, maybe don't get stoned.
Or if that's
respect
your, if that's your preference. Like, right. I'm not – I first of all – drinking and smoking weed at a club will basically just, like, debilitate you.
I would, like, die. I can't
I've
do that.
I've done that a million times.
Yeah,
and
no.
it's just...
Done.
Yeah, see you at Swingers at 4 a.m. Like, yeah. it's just not happening.
No.
So, I think you also said something that really... I didn't know if you meant it, but you said friendship is about compromise. I think the expression is that relationships are about compromise.
Right.
I don't think friendship is really about I don't think that if you have to compromise who you are in order to be in a friendship, then no.
Yeah, I never thought about that. I never really thought about that. You're right.
Like, I would, like, honestly, I mean, I'm kind of, like, quick to cut ties with anyone that's not letting me do me, but, like, yeah, I would just, like, be, like, out on it. And I know you're saying they're good people, but – and I also get where they're coming from, too, because I'm, like, a little bit of, like, a Tracy Flick off the rails. Like, I was, like, totally like that in high school, too. I was, like, if you need to smoke weed to have a fun time, you're a loser. But, like, you know, that's kind of, like, I wonder what their politics are. Like, I just
right.
wonder who these people are. Like, I feel like these are the kind of friends who also wouldn't let you get an abortion. Like,
right. You might need one.
You know, especially if you're high, girl.
Yeah, you might need one.
So, oh, and that's a fun activity when you're having sex. Not an abortion, but I mean, when you're stoned is not an abortion, but like having
no.
sex is fun when you're stoned. Coloring.
I agree.
Like, color, art, yeah.
I like just move, like documentaries. Like,
yeah.
I could spend, now there's Vice TV. Like, what the fuck? I can't get stoned every day anymore because I have three kids
yeah.
and God bless them, but
yeah.
they need a mother.
Mm-hmm.
I am already lazy enough. And when I smoked weed, I was like, I didn't do anything except
no.
watch like Microcosmos and like invite people to my house
mm-hmm.
to watch that movie with me. But like watch Vice on like HBO. Like take a moment to educate yourself with
yes.
documentaries while you're stoned.
Yes.
That's like the best thing.
It is fun.
And eating.
Yeah. Eating is
maybe
good.
Learn how
oh,
to like
but no, that's how
stuff.
Carney Wilson got fat. Like that was my
oh, really?
Proudest moment. Oh
I
yeah,
didn't
she
know
said
that.
It out. We were talking about Oprah for like 20 minutes before
oh
the podcast
God.
Started,
yeah.
but Carney Wilson changed
yeah.
my life because she went on Oprah and
yeah.
said that she got fat from munchies. And I was like, no.
I missed that.
And I was
yeah,
like deep into like my stonerhood at that point.
Yeah.
I think I was in college. And so I like trained myself to
not
to eat when I was stoned.
Well, maybe that's why this girl needs – you've only been smoking weed for like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
What – like maybe her friends want to protect her from getting fat.
That's probably it. In which case, I'm in complete support.
Yeah,
but,
me too.
Just watch it, girl. Like, I mean, this doesn't need to turn into an everyday habit. If you can, like, keep it, like, a 2 times a week,
just
once
a
month.
Just do it when they're not around.
Yeah.
That's what I think. And if you need stoner buddies, and that's maybe what you're really mad about, then you just meet some new friends.
Yeah, your drug dealer probably, like, honestly, drug dealers are so excited to hang out. I have found in my, like, I've always gotten into a situation with, like, my pot dealer in college, I found out via a friend, was so fucking hurt that when I stopped buying from him, I stopped hanging out with him. And, like, I heard this from a friend of a friend, and I was like, I had no idea that Rob was so, like
waiting for you to hang.
I would go over and, like, hang with him and his girlfriend, and, like, I guess when I stopped hanging, like, that became a really big problem. So, you know, you might find a friend. Like,
you might find a friend. Yeah. Unless even at the dispensary, if you're going to dispensary, those guys, like, want you to hang out. They'll offer you a job. Maybe you could parlay this into, like, a second job.
Yeah.
And then it's your lifestyle.
I get Midwest from her.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, where do you find a pack of squares like that?
Yeah, it's so bizarre.
I don't know.
Well, I think you'll be okay. Just, like, don't tell them. You don't need to. I mean, if they drink, if your friends don't drink and don't smoke pot, then I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
You gotta have some release. You're 24. They do something. Like, if your friends don't do that, they, like, are into weird
it's
sex,
like,
shit.
It's like blowjob trading or something. There's some weirdness going on.
All right, next call.
Hi, Malls. I have many questions for you, but for right now, my question is, I've been in L.A. for almost 6 years, and I came out here and went to school for fashion and did a couple things in that, and I've had, like, a series of trial and error jobs, and I've been fired from a few of them, mostly because I'm not good at that, like, yes man, keeping my mouth shut thing. Which I'm sure you understand, not saying I have no fault in that, but I just can't bring myself to swallow just, like, taking any job. So that leaves me with, like, being broke in LA. And I'm currently considering going back to my hometown to, like, big fish in a small pond for a little while I figure some shit out and save money and realistically probably just, like, have a little more fun than I'm currently having. And I'm wondering if this is, like, running away, if you think it is. And I know I couldn't stay there. I don't want to, but I kind of want, like, a getaway. Let me know your thoughts. Thank you. Bye.
All right. Well, I think the first thing you should know is that you need to definitely get a clue. Like, I don't know.
I agree.
What is, like, what's the deal, girl? Like, you're not a yes man. Like, that's called doing your job.
Yeah. You can't get fired from a job.
No.
You can't get – that's not an option.
No.
Being fired isn't an option unless you're, like, mentally ill.
Yeah.
And then you get help.
You're not, like – or not three jobs. Like, what are you doing that – I mean, I guess if you're, like, an assistant and that's not your world and you need to not be an assistant anymore.
Right.
Like, that's great. But, like
– but move on up. Like, like, you have to, like, get some skills.
Absolutely. Well, Kelly's a really hard worker. She's new to L.A., but, like – girls, like, doing things.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even understand this mentality of not, like, getting tools to move on up.
Yeah, and you can't be poor and not work hard and be upset about it.
Nope, not at all.
You can be, like, poor and work really hard and be upset about it. But, absolutely. Like, you're not allowed to do all three. I mean, you have to pick two.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, so I don't know.
So I was, like, wondering, like, out of her – like, was her question, should I go back home for a bit just to, like, chill out? I would say go back home for a bit and maybe you'll get, like, a reality, you know, like a wake-up call that, you know, you said you go back home, you'll be a big fish in a small pond. Maybe you'll go back home and you won't be a big fish in a small pond.
Yeah.
And you'll realize that people have done a ton of shit. And have moved on, even within the town.
Absolutely.
And maybe it'll really help, like, you realize that you're in a cool city. You're in LA. You've been here for 6 years. Maybe it'll help you, like, get a little more ambitious and figure your shit out. I mean, you went to fashion school and you had all of these, like, fire jobs because you're not a yes man?
Like, that's what I'm curious.
You have like, some tools here.
I'm V unclear. You on know what her journey who
Malls
is.
Like, you know who Malls is. You're already on the right track, like for a demo and
yeah,
stuff.
Do you guys want to intern? She should come. No, I can't trust her to intern.
Seriously,
for
go
the
back
pod.
Home and like really assess who you are and what you're doing with your life because you really need to get on track. It sounds like you've been here long enough to figure it out, what you want to do. Yeah. You just need to fucking do it.
You're exactly right, Kelly. Definitely, like, I don't even know. You didn't even say what you want to do. Like, do you want to stay in fashion?
I don't know.
Are you trying to be on a reality show?
Do you
want to
marry somebody?
Do you want to marry someone? These are good things to know. If you want to marry someone, don't stay in L.A. Like, you're never going to get married. No. Like, that's just it.
Yeah.
This is the wrong city to – I mean, I have very strong feelings about that. Like, I don't understand being noncommittal in Los Angeles. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
Because this is a really difficult city to live in if you don't know what you want to do.
Agree.
All right, girl. Next call.
Hey, Malls. It's Whitney. I am calling because I am – finally drunk enough to have the courage, A, and B, I think you would have some valuable advice. So my question is, have you ever had a friend that you have loved more than they have loved you? I realize the obvious answer is, oh, that's a terrible friendship, but just hear me out. This girl was my maid of honor, and 2 weeks after I was married, my father was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. So obviously I needed a friend, I needed a crutch. Anyways, she moved to the same city that I live in about a year ago. She lives on the other side of town with her best friends from college, and I never see her. I basically feel like I'm an afterthought, like her daytime friend, her lunch friend, that kind of maintenance. And it's a really shitty feeling, and I think it probably affects me more than it should. I just really love too hard, and I'm one of those people. I'll go above and beyond for someone I care about. And it's a really shitty feeling to realize that it probably won't be reciprocated. But here's the thing. I don't even think it registers with her that she makes me feel this way. I think she's so self-centered that the thought has just never occurred to her. So I don't know if I should even address it with her because I realize relationships have ebbs and flows. And maybe this is just one of those ebbs, and I don't want to create drama. So I just wanted to know what your thoughts were about how I deal with this. And yeah, just basically be strong about it. All right. Bye.
So to answer your first question, no. I've never had a situation where I have loved a friend more than they've loved me. I'm very equal in all of my relationships. That is my number one qualification in a friendship, is that I need to love my friend as much as they love me and vice versa. I can't have an unbalanced friendship. I can't. Like, I don't know how to maintain that because I know the whole time that I'm giving more or that they're giving more, and then I feel guilty. I can't just, like, hold a person hostage like that. I think that that's – I have very few friends. I have, like, 5 friends, but that's on purpose because I've made them, like, the best 5 friends I could have. And, yeah, I don't know. Like, I think that this girl is, like, kind of – over you. I do. I hate to say that, but I think that there's something that's transpired between the two of you where, like, you're just a lot to handle. Yeah. Kelly, what do you think?
Or you've grown apart and you were close at some point.
Yeah.
Like, you said, Whitney, a few things. Like, you said the word maintenance. Like, you feel like you're maintenance and it's a shitty feeling. Well, that's real. Like, you're not making that up. You know, if you feel that way.
If you're only getting a lunch date, you know why you're, and like, she's,
and
that's
you,
true.
She's hanging out with her college friends and living with them instead of making you a part of her world. It sounds like just, you know, to me that you want something way more out of this friendship than there really is anymore. I mean, if you made her your maid of honor at your wedding, you guys were obviously super close at some point.
She thinks.
It's just your realities, I think, are totally different for this friendship. Totally. And I don't think, I don't really think that's her fault. You didn't tell us your whole history with her.
Right.
But it really sounds like this is like your deal with her.
I think that Whitney needs to not reach out for a minute. I think that Whitney needs to test those waters and see if the friend comes to her. If Whitney's initiating every plan, if like she feels like an afterthought and she's only, if you're like the 12th person on this girl's text list, like then
This girl is calling Whitney and inviting her out for lunch and Whitney's just insecure about it.
Yeah.
And maybe she is. Yeah. It's not enough for her. And maybe she is getting a lot of attention from this girl, but it's just her reality in general in life that you're not getting enough from the people you want it from.
Absolutely.
All of this stuff stems from like when you're a baby with your parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe it isn't quite as bad as you think, or maybe it is quite as bad as you think. I mean, we don't have enough information here with the whole friendship.
It does sound like, Kelly, to use your word from before, you said it seemed like she had codependence issues.
Yeah.
I believe that's there.
I believe that's there too. Because if you said, Whitney, that you love too hard.
Yeah.
And that's like something that's like a super codependent thing to say.
Yes. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but when someone, or if your friend's anything like me, but when someone comes to me with like unnecessary drama and bullshit, I shut the fuck down.
Right.
Like I have nothing to give.
I'm the opposite. I give. I'm like,
well, if it's Ed or like Christina, one of my super close friends, like I said to Ed, he told me the other day he was mad at me and I called him and I'm like, you're not allowed to say you're mad at me because you know what that does to me. Like, you're allowed to be mad at me and you're allowed to find a way to say it, but you're not allowed to just send me a text being like, I'm mad at you, let's talk tomorrow, because that I'm like bolting out of the restaurant I'm in up the street on the phone with you, like in tears, being like, you're the most important person in my world. Why are you mad at me?
Right. So you get it.
You'll get that from me if it's like my best friend. But if it's a person that I've,
I feel like she thinks this is her best friend.
She thinks she is her best friend.
Yeah, she made her the maid of honor. I mean, that's what you do with your closest friend.
Yeah.
So that's how I think she's in that zone. Mm-hmm. Where it's like we're best friends, and then but she knows this friend is not actually her best friend. Like, you know the truth. I think you know what your truth is with this girl, and I don't think there's anything you can do to change it or miraculously like make her think you're number one all of a sudden in her life. Like, I think that the more you try and the harder you love her, that's like the wrong way to go about this.
Also, like, you have a husband. Not saying that that's a replacement for friends, but like, come on, girl. Like, you have a life. Like, let's not act like you don't have a life. Like, you do. Like, just go, like, go to a fucking farmer's market. Like, why are you worried about
this? Get some kale.
I know that you're, like, on one, and, like, that's where you were at when you called, and I'm glad you called, and I don't want to, like, I never want someone to call and be like, you're wrong, but, like, just, like,
Feel bad for her, though.
Back off.
I mean, I kind of feel bad for her. I feel bad for her. Like, I don't know. I feel bad for you, but I don't know if you need to have that conversation with her. I feel like my gut is telling me this is like you and you have some issues you have to work out with, like, love and attachment to people and what you feel you're owed from other people when she doesn't really owe you anything. But at the same time, you can be honest with her. Be honest with her and just tell her. I mean, there's two ways to go. Don't say anything, or be honest with her and say, look, I'm giving so much into our relationship and it makes me feel really, really shitty that you don't try in this relationship. I'm not saying there's going to be any resolution with that at all, but it might make you feel more relaxed.
This is all giving me very, like, adult child of an alcoholic vibes. And I know about that because I am one.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm saying that, like, you know, maybe like pick up some literature, like speak
to
someone.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And like, I think that there's, you know, there's an entitlement here. There's a little bit, there's a lot of codependence. Yeah. There needs to be some self-growth. There's like, an awareness within an unawareness. Like,
I think you should talk to, I think if you can go see somebody and discuss this with like an actual therapist, you'll realize that it has way more to do with you and expectations than it does with your friend. And even if you do tell your friend how you're feeling, chances are she's going to feel really cornered and tell you exactly what you want to hear, whether or not that's true. And maybe like try and set up some dates with you, whether or not she really wants to go. So I agree with Malls. Get some literature and don't dwell on it either, because everything you need, you've got. You don't need her.
Absolutely.
Nobody needs anybody else like that.
Absolutely. Go make friends at Al-Anon. So as you guys know, I treat you super good, and I am going to give a song away every week that costs $1.29 to someone who reblogs, retweets, or rates us 5 stars and leaves a comment in the iTunes store. I'll figure out a way to get in touch with you. Or I'll just like say at the end of the podcast some week. I don't know. Every week I forget to do this because I drink too much when I do this. This week I'm actually mostly sober, so I had one bourbon. But yeah, I'll say your name at the end. And then I also give away a song that I think a reader needs, or a listener needs. I'm sorry, I'm used to blogging. That calls in with her calls. So, like, I don't know. Maybe Whitney, you're like a strong contender right now for that 129 song. All right. Well, and just like stay tuned for that music. Hashtag love.
Hey, Malls. My name is Zinanator. I'm a longtime fan of your blog and have a conundrum that seems like it would be perfect for you to solve. I would like to reiterate before I start that this is not my issue. This is my husband's issue. He found his ex-wife's blog, and it talks shit about every member of his family while she's, like, super sweet to their face, and they've, like, taken her side and the whole divorced kids situation, and it's caused a lot of shit for him. So he wants to tell his little sister about the blog, because the ex-wife kind of abuses their relationship. She uses her a lot. Like, she's good networking in L.A., good friends, and, like, she uses that to get job interviews and opportunities, and it's kind of shitty. And he wants his little sister to know the truth, that this person is, like, talking shit about her in a blog. And I keep telling him not to do it because it's just going to blow all the crap up again, and we certainly don't need that. We've been married for 2 years. He's getting, like, on better terms with his family after his divorce. But he won't listen to just me, even though I'm always right. So if you could let him know that what he's going to do is wrong, or if you think he should do it and that's, like, the path he should travel, then by all means. But he'll probably take your advice instead of mine. Anyway, later.
I have so much to say about this.
Kelly, okay. I feel like she's a Coppola or an Eastwood. I'm going to let you go. I'm just saying, like, why is her family so connected?
Okay, first of all, why is he reading his ex-wife's blog?
And why are you so okay with it?
Why? Why is he going back to the blog? Obviously, she's writing about his family because she's obsessed with him still and the whole thing. And he's Googling her and reading her fucking blog. Why are you so chill about this? Like, oh, should you tell his sister or not? The first question is, does he even give a shit?
Yeah.
Why is he even looking her up?
Well, I think he is looking her up, but it sounds to me like this girl is a part of his family's life. Like, the ex-wife is still in touch with his sister, and right, that they hang, which, like, also I would not be – I don't know how this girl is not – how do you have time to call my podcast when you should be on a fucking murdering spree? Like, right. I don't understand. I would have taken a machine gun down to wherever all these people lived and tore that shit up.
Oh, my God.
But –
I think this is really dumb. I think the sister can deal. I mean, if he found this fucking blog, why isn't the sister finding this blog? Let her deal with it.
Like, maybe the wife found it. I'm just going to, like, throw that. Okay, I'm going to float that theory. Like, maybe she's one of those.
That's a really good theory.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I would never, and if I did, I would never admit it.
Not even interested.
No. Well, I'm probably super interested, but, like, ashamed and also afraid.
No. No, you wouldn't. if you have an ex and you've remarried, you're over it.
Yeah, that's
you have real. To be over
that's
it.
Real, yeah,
you have to be over it. You're not
yeah.
dipping back into their lives to you like find out shit, unless you have kids. But then you don't get into the drums of like life and
right
shit talking people. It's just like the mechanics.
Absolutely. And like dropping your kids off at yes. like a highway rest stop like and like having going, doing right. exchange.
Having like yeah. dinner together and like splitting cigarettes and stuff.
Absolutely.
That's it.
But wait, so like, I don't know. I kind of feel I'm a big secret keeper. Like, I just feel yeah, like you don't need to shove business in nope. other people's faces.
Never.
There's too many people to like go shoving
you
your business.
You always get in trouble for it too because it's always. Not your fucking business.
You're the messenger.
You're the jerk. Like, yeah. you, nobody asked you. Like I said, if the sister wants to know, she's going to find out that this girl doesn't like her.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to say anything.
I wonder to what extent. I'm dying to know to what extent.
I know, this, I know. I agree.
Can you just like email me your
more details?
I just like fuck the details. Fuck everyone. What? I just want to know, Kelly. I'll send you the link to email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com and send me a link to your husband's ex-wife's blog because I'm kind of needing to know more.
Like what kind of shit?
Yeah, like I won't tell anyone. I just want to know for myself.
Why
I'm
would
super
you blog about
nosy.
It? That's interesting.
Like, oh, I would because I'm tacky. But like I
blogging about other people's shit. I don't think I ever did that. And like all the years of blogging, like since like the 90s, I've never blogged about other people's shit ever.
Well, I mean, for me, like I, you know, as I told you just like before, I was like, I'm an open book. Like I say way too much right. and I know it. Like I know I say too much. So I probably would in a moment of like,
talk about the
drunk
ex.
In desperation, like right. be like, I'm so upset. Like I have done things like that, but I also like I started young. I picked up bad habits. Like I've been blogging for my whole life, so like right. I just would, you know, I picked up bad habits. Like I developed bad habits where I overshare.
Yeah,
but I feel like we're a part of the overshare generation.
Yeah, I'm way older than you.
No, you're not.
Well, older. Like I'm old enough to have not. Been a super overshare. I
what
was.
Did I
like
you?
Curated.
When you're 24, you're 40. Like,
yeah, it's true.
The same age.
I
girl.
Mean, that's when I started blogging. Was when I was like 23 or 22.
And you're a decent person. You're a decent person by then. You're put together
yeah.
enough. Like,
yeah,
if you start
I like early, I curated yeah. what I was sharing.
Yeah,
I don't need to air my
I
dirty
was like,
laundry. Well, because you were younger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, back to this blog.
Oh, but anyway,
we
so,
need to know.
Sorry.
We need to know, like, how, like, if it's just, like, saying I had a shitty day because this person was, like, a bitch, then that's not, like, that big of a deal. Who
or
cares?
Or if it's, like, the title
like, actual
is, like,
dirty
sister,
laundry.
And then
right.
it's, like, all the shit about the sister.
All the shit about the sister. And then you know that night she's going out with her and having a din or something. That's
yeah.
not cool.
I think maybe it's
but
like
still stay out of it.
I don't know. Like I can't tell if it's like chic and European
waffling.
That the ex hangs out with the family style, or if it's like
super small town.
Yeah, but it's LA.
But it's LA, right?
And like apparently, that's why I'm saying. Are you like a
right.
Coppola? Are you in Eastwood? Like
right.
what is
like,
going
why?
On? That, like there's
what are these
connections? Because yeah, dying to know.
Yeah, what are these connections?
I'm dying.
I still think. You don't need to, like, be reading the blogs, either of you. Whether it's the wife or the husband, like, just stay out of the relationship with the ex and the sister. None of your business. Enjoy your marriage. You know, whatever.
Yeah. And definitely
you don't need to get into it.
Don't pass it on. Like, that's just going to lead to
don't
more
blow
people
it up.
Having their feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Like, would
exactly.
you write a message to your mother-in-law saying all those things? Probably not. So then don't send it.
Right. Agree.
You guys... Again, the number here is 323-450-7408. If you want to call in your updates, we'd really appreciate that.
Yeah,
and we
updates.
Also want more questions. I'm dying to know about Blog Man.
Who?
Blog Man, make a good decision. All right, so you guys know I only take your letters if they're super juicy or if I feel like I need to rip you a new asshole because I feel like you should just sack up and call in. But if the questions are like, on a good one, then I'll read it. I think this week is kind of on a good one. It's like sort of on a good one, but I don't know if I should be reinforcing like your negative behavior. Like I feel like you need to be writing me about like I aborted my brother's child. Like I feel like you need to be like I'm an I like I'm down with incest. Like, I want shit like that. Hey, Malls. I'm Ashton, 26, from Arizona. So, weird question. I grew up in a really religious family and have always hung out with similarly religious people throughout high school and college. This year, however, I decided to go on a semi-rumspringa from my religion because I've been questioning a lot of my former beliefs. About a month ago, I moved to a new state and feel like I can have a new beginning to try a different lifestyle. I've never had sex.
And how old is she?
The letter. 26. Wait, I'm sorry. Okay, sorry. I've never had sex, and that's definitely something I plan on exploring in this new city. Go, girl. The thing is, I don't know how to handle my relationships with my family and close friends back home who wouldn't approve of my behavior. I still want these people in my life, and I know they wouldn't shun me or anything. Shun is in quotes, or anything if they knew. But do I have to tell them about my new views and lifestyle, or can it just be my little secret? Gross. I've been a longtime Twitter/YouTube subscriber, Malls. I love everything you do. Keep up the great work. I'm so sorry I laughed at you. Thanks for your support. Wow. Kelly. Oh
my God.
What do you think?
I don't even know. Like, I can't even fathom this reality.
No.
I mean, by the time I was 26, I, like, had three kids, and I had, like, because I had settled down because I had partied so hard as a, like, young teenager.
Yeah.
So I can't even wrap my head around this.
No. When, like, I was 26, I was, like, in a gutter, like, probably, like, heart failure. Like, it was, like, not cute when I was 26. But, like, that's what I'm – I almost feel like this chick needs to stay on the straight and narrow, or she's going to go off the rails. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's almost hard at 26 to just dip your toes into, like, the wild side.
Mm-hmm. Because, I agree with you.
Like, I think that maybe you need to, like – meet a nice man, date him.
Yeah.
Fuck on the third date like the rest of America. Or, you know, but, like, I'm saying, like, you can't – I don't know if first date sex is right for a 26 – oh, God. Oh,
I know, that's
man.
So crazy.
Oh, no, you have to date him for, like, 3 months. You're a virgin. I just remembered. Oh, shit. Well, I don't know, man. I don't know. Like, I don't know.
I think she should just take these 3 months. Here's the problem that I see about taking these 3 months and just fucking people is that, I mean, I lost my virginity when I was like 14. And that was like, I mean, I had the same boyfriend for a year and a half, and it was very safe. Yeah. It was like a good zone. We were both like the same age. Yeah. There was no weirdness. It was like kind of the perfect but still too young thing to do.
Yeah.
But I feel like at 26, if you're, like, away from home in another city, if anybody knows you're a virgin, one, it's going to be very hard to get laid randomly.
Oh, my God.
Like, next to impossible.
I'm obsessed whenever there's a girl on The Bachelor who's like, I'm a virgin. Yeah, jinx.
It's insane.
Yeah.
But then, too, on the other hand, if you're like, oh, don't worry, I'm not going to tell him I'm a virgin, then you're going to get mentally, like, kind of screwed up from this adventure.
Absolutely.
Because sex is, like, a very powerful brain thing, and you're going to get, like, attached to somebody that you don't need to be attached to. And Absolutely. It isn't even, like, you're probably thinking, oh, I'm not going to get attached. I'm, like, totally, like, emotionally. No, it isn't even emotional. It's, like, chemistry in your brain. Yeah. Whoever these people are that you're going to have sex with, your, like, brain is going to, like, go somewhere new, and it's going to fuck you up.
You're going to be calling. You're going to be texting.
I say, like, open your mind to, like, new political views. Fantastic. Uh-huh. Open your mind to, like, new friends with new political views. Fantastic. Maybe don't open your legs to a bunch of guys that you don't know. It could be, like, the most dangerous fucking thing you've ever done in your life.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you agree?
You do not want to go back to Amish country with herpes.
No. And, like, there's no like, therapist to talk to when you go back to Amish country, and you're going to need a therapist.
I don't think she's really – but you know what I'm saying. I think she's Mormon.
I think she's Mormon. I got the Mormon vibe from that, too.
Just drink a bunch of soda. Like, take advantage of the opportunity. Like, drink Diet Coke. Get a lot of iced coffee.
Seriously, meet some people that have had abortions that you, like, actually like. And be like, oh, it isn't a terrible – you can be an awesome person and still have an abortion.
Yeah, totally.
But don't fuck a bunch of guys. I agree with Malls. Go back home. Meet a guy that, like – maybe I'm sure there are other guys that are in your like religion, whatever it is, that they're are the same as you.
Yeah.
And they're dying to do it, and they're like interested in other things, and they have, you know, would love to have like a 3-month adventure. Mm-hmm. Go back and find one of those guys, fall in love and get married and stay close to your family, because there's nothing else in life. If you like move away from your family and never see them again, you're going to regret it when you're old. Go back. You're already 26. I would not say this to somebody who's like 18.
That's the thing, yeah.
But at 26, I would say don't leave your family at all. It's like the worst mistake you could make. You need to be with your family.
I was crippled by like starting to smoke pot and drink at 18.
Yeah.
Because everyone else I knew had been doing that for years.
Yeah.
Like everyone else was like well experienced. They'd gotten their drinking, their fucking, all their shit over with by 18. I was like, oh, I guess I'll have – what is this called? Natural ice? And I'd have like a sip beer at a party. Like I was like brand new to the world, and like that fucked me in the ass throughout my 20s.
Right.
Because I'm like on one, because it's like I'm still in the on one phase of my life. So
right.
You just need to like – girl, you're like a – you're a special diamond.
You're really special. Yeah. I like you.
I like you, Ashton.
I think that you
don't
need,
believe that's your name.
Not, neither do I.
Yeah. She's a Mormon. Maybe like McKelty. That's the name of like a girl on Sister Wives.
McKelty.
So, yeah, they pick bad names, those Mormons. No offense. Thanks for your support. God bless.
We're rooting for you. We need an update on you.
Oh, for sure.
For sure we need an update. No, like maybe 3 updates like throughout this time.
While you're doing your weird Mormon adventure, tattoo 323-450-7408 and call us at every turn. So like if you get the cherry popped.
We need to know. But don't.
No, but don't.
Don't. But stay pure for your husband because it'll be funny.
Yeah, and like you'll know he'll want that.
Yeah. Oh my God, so bad.
Slut shaming in that Mormon community.
Oh my God, it'll be great.
Sorry we've attached a religion and a set of beliefs to you that we are probably not fully informed about. Next call.
Hi, Molly. I just don't know what to do. I am in love with a local D-list celebrity, and we've talked a couple of times. I booked him for a show, and I just we've exchanged some Facebook messages, and I just don't really know where to go from here. I don't know how to get him to notice me, and I was wondering, do you think it's creepy if I go to all of his local events by myself? Anyway, he has a show tonight. I was thinking about going, but must I get him to fall in love with me? Thanks. Bye.
So Kelly and I have already been in a debate about whether or not this is a real call.
Right. It just seems so outlandish to me as like a way to start dating somebody.
And I'm like, this is a lot of people's reality. Like I hear that in your voice. I hear reality in your voice, which is that like you're not really – yeah, no, I hear it in your voice. You're going to fuck him. Like, I'll just throw that out there. Like, you're definitely going to fuck him. For sure. Like, do you want the end of the story? Yeah, you're going to fuck him. And then, like, you're going to become obsessed.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's not going to go your way because, like, you're going to be, like, much like, what's her name? Ashton. Like, you're going to, like, get weird and start texting too much and, like, being, like, a weirdo. And then he's going to be like, I'm a D-list celebrity. Like, I kind of can't be in a relationship right now. And you're going to be like, oh, but I, like, love you. And I went to all your shows by myself. And then he's going to be like, yeah, I can't really do this right now. And then he's going to start telling his friends that you're a weirdo. And then you're going to feel, like, really upset about that. And, like, I think... you know, I mean,
oh my God, Miles is so right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
No. You are 100% right. I totally forgot about this stage of my life because I haven't dated in like almost like 17 years. But as you were saying all of this, she's right. Listen to Miles. That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
If you do that, that's what's going to happen. Like, you're not going to develop anything.
You will. You'll get it one in. He's just not going to stay with you.
And if you want that, then great. Do it.
Yeah.
But you don't want that.
But like...
she's got a crush on him.
It really is upsetting though. And I say this because like both sides of the coin have been in my reality. And like I also am with someone currently who I feel like could like can and probably has easily gotten ass from being on television. And it really upsets me. But then, like, I see why he chose me and why when I was in the other situations I've been in, why I wasn't chosen.
Right.
I don't think you're going to be chosen. Like, if you're calling this pod, you're not going to be chosen.
Right. If your way in is to show up by yourself at his shows, you're not going to be chosen. If no. that's your in, that's not a good in. You've got to, like, go in through friends, and it's got to be natural. It can't be, like, forced stalking.
She said she booked him on shows, though, so that makes me feel like she almost has an upper hand.
Right.
Because, like, she's booking him.
Yeah. I agree. I agree with that. So keep it like that. Don't show up by yourself to all of his shows.
Yeah. I'm dying to know who this is. Like, honestly, just I will never tell a soul on this planet. I just want you to email me. I would give you my personal email, but, like, this is public. So just email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com and tell me who this is, because I will die if I do not know.
And maybe Malls can hook you up.
I know. Honestly, I probably fucked this person. No, I'm just kidding. No, I haven't. I definitely haven't. I'm pretty much like a virgin. But yeah, no, I think that you just need to be careful. That's it. Well, like, guard your heart. That's it. All right. Good next call. Sorry, girl.
Hey, Malls. This is Haley. I just have a quick question. I just started my new job. I just graduated college, and I started in this training program with, like, 10 other people. We're going to be together for, like, a year plus. And obviously wasn't anticipating this, but I'm, like, completely infatuated with this guy in my training program. We've been going out for drinks together. He's, like, super flirtatious, only when we're, like, one-on-one, not at work, which I think is better. But I just really don't know what to do. Obviously, I'm not going to, like, go make out with him at a bar and make it awkward, but I could honestly see myself dating this guy. And so I don't want to just, like, give that up just because I work with him. So I don't really know how to move forward. So please advise. Thank you.
Well, Haley, I would have fucked this guy already. So good for you, and even thinking this through, that you're going to be in training with him for over a year and stuck in this situation, because I would not have had the forethought. If I was into him and he was flirting, there's no way.
Yeah, drinks? No. And yeah. No, I would have done the same thing. And I also think that the only thing worse than being with someone for a year and a half and like, fucking them and have it be weird is, like, being with someone for a year and then, like, not fucking them.
Right.
You know? Like, yeah. You guys can get over that's weirdness, true. But what you can't get over is, like, a year of build-up sexual tension.
That's true.
So you just have to, like, fuck him, see how it goes. Like, also feel out his values before you do it, though. Because if you are, like, having conversations with him, if you guys are going on, like, drink dates and, like,
it's deep,
clearly vibing.
Yeah.
See if he's, like, in the market for a girlfriend.
Right.
Because
you have so much time.
Yeah.
So much opportunity to, like, cultivate this and make it a real thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And, like,
I would have ruined it, and so would have Molly.
Oh, no, I would have.
It would have been ruined.
The day of my internship or whatever the fuck it is you're doing.
First day of training.
It would have been
over.
Oh, it would have been over.
You're so smart.
I'm out of the program. I'm back in Massachusetts in my parents' basement.
Having an abortion.
Yeah. And every call is – I've never – just so you know, guys – never had an abortion. I probably
neither have I.
Okay, so we haven't had abortions, but we've mentioned them to every caller. We don't know if
we're
I would
fascinated,
and we're not giving you. We're not saying whatever. Like, I'm open to your choices. That's all I'm saying. And we, you know, it's like whatever you want to do, man.
We're okay with it.
Whatever you want to do. It's your body, and your internship or whatever the fuck this is. So just do what you want, right?
Yeah.
I think
that she's smart, and she's like, she's got to vibe it out and just figure out, like, if, I mean, you're right. Does this guy want a girlfriend? If he does, and he's hanging out with you all the time, is he considering you to be like, maybe it could be this chick?
Yeah.
That's important. So just, like, suss it out.
Because if this can be a relationship, as long as it's not against, like, the program's rules, right, or whatever, which, in which case, honestly, I would choose my work.
Yeah, me too.
Over a
relationship with a guy. Totally.
Because you never know.
No.
But you do know work will work out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give it. I also don't know how old you are.
She sounded like she was 10.
Yeah, if you're like in your early 20s, you can bounce back from anything.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like, I don't even remember my early 20s. Like, I made such big mistakes in those years, and like.
And you're fine now. Look at you. No.
Okay.
I wasn't being sarcastic. That was like me motivating.
I know, but no, I just black that out. Your early 20s won't be remembered. You'll just forget them, like, especially if you had a complicated childhood. Right.
You can really mess this up and you'll be fine. And you can make it like the best early 20s relationship ever and you'll be fine.
I'm excited for you, girl.
Me too. You're smart. You sound really smart, Haley. FYI.
Smart, Haley. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Again, I'm Malls, and thank you so much to my guest, Kelly Oxford.
Thanks for having me.
Duh.
That was a lot of fun. I'm like obsessing over all of these people now.
Kelly, you have to come back, and we really want your updates. I will send them to Kelly if you want.
Yeah, I'll come back for the update.
No, we want the ex-wife for sure.
The ex-wife. Yes, she needs. And like with Ashton.
Yeah, Ashton's little sexual adventure. And the D-list celebrity. Oh my God, what am I going to do about the D-list celebrity? What's this cliffhanger? Because I'm recording this 2 weeks before it's going to air. So, like, do you understand what hell I'm going to be in for the next 2 weeks of my life? If you're not prompt about your follow-up, I swear to God I'll come to your house.
Yeah.
You guys, updates at 323-450-7408. I may just call you back. Like, I may just call you in person. We don't know. Follow us on Twitter at PleaseAdvise, please_advise. And also we're on like Instagram and shit. We want to thank SoundCloud for hosting us via the Loud Speakers Network, which we're very proud to be a part of. SoundCloud.com/PleaseAdvise. And yeah, like, you can find Kelly on the internet. Like, if you know me, you know Kelly. It's at Kelly Oxford. She's Kelly Oxford everywhere. She has cute kids. She has, like, fucking great jokes. Like, Kelly's killing it. Kelly's killing it.
That's, like, my new bio. And I'm just going to type that one out.
I'm very proud of everyone. I'm super proud of you guys. Everyone's murdering it. Kelly, do you want to take part in our last segment of the show, which is called Free Advice, where we give people advice they may not have asked for, but they deserve?
Okay. Free advice. Here's some free advice. I'm just like winging this, by the way.
Do you?
Can we have a conversation about this? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I have an issue with first-time parents and how they raise their kids, mostly with how they discuss raising their kids. That's the problem that I have with it. And the issue is, like, I was a first-time parent at one point, and I kind of did the exact same thing. So I get it.
Yeah.
But I'm really not interested in, like, parents that think there's a right or a wrong. And people come to me all the time and they ask me, like, what did you do with your kids? Like, how did you raise them? And I'm just like, no, I'm not going to, like, tell you, like, what classes we went to or what we did or anything. You just have to, like, do what works for you and your family and what works for your kids. I mean, like, some parents put their kids in – maybe I should rant about that a little bit. Should I?
Whatever you want.
Maybe I should rant a bit about, like, baby sign language.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, baby sign language, like, drives me crazy. I don't understand. People put their kids in baby sign language when they're, like, a few months old, like 4 months or 6 months old. And babies can't. I mean, kids can't even hold a pencil and draw anything.
Can I say it's a little retarded looking, like, to see a baby do, like, a milk sign language.
But the thing is, it's like a baby that can do a baby that has. This is what I'm saying. Unless, of course, your baby is deaf, by all means,
teach your child sign language, please. By all means, yeah.
But if your child can hear, let's maybe not do that, because once a kid has the skill to make, like, the milk sign, they have the skill to go meh.
Yeah.
And for you to friggin' understand
also,
what they want.
Also, they're probably crying. So
right.
So they're hungry.
You know when you have to give your kid some food. Like, it's not that mysterious.
Absolutely.
Like, kids can't pick up a pencil and draw a face until they're, like, two, like one and a half, how could you expect a kid to like stick their hands up and like put their fingers and like they're not dexterous enough.
Yeah.
So you're gonna teach like a 6 month old to put their hand up and it's gonna make them more annoying. Like maybe like one kid in 1,000 is gonna be able to do this.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are just sitting there going, what are they talking about? Why are they making my life more difficult than it has to be?
Well, like, are there enough kids that were raised doing this baby sign language shit that we know that it works?
Like, yes, it works for kids, but these kids that can do it like really, really well usually can also
speak,
communicate in other ways.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, they're deaf. And then, of course, it's, like, totally fine.
Look, like, I'm, like, a total weirdo. I was raised as a weirdo. I have sensory issues, so I used to have to go somewhere and, like, play with a ball, and then some lady would brush my skin with a brush. And, like, it's, like, I'm sensitive to touch. And, like,
right.
Like, I'm saying, what? I'm serious. Like, there was this woman named Judith, and, like, Judith would, like, rub
Judith
my
is a great therapist name, by the
way.
Oh,
yeah.
It's, Judith, like, the only one.
Everything.
It's the only one.
And then I used to walk Judith's dog. Like, as I got older, like, that was my after school job, is I would go, like, walk Judith's dog and take care of him. He was so cute. I wish I could remember his name. He's dead now. Skipper, I think his name was. God bless Skipper. So I just really, like, I feel like I understand these, like, I was part of a
but era that's different. Of, okay, like, but that's new, like, wave different. Shit. New wave shit. Right.
Right.
But this, like, sign language thing, and I can understand first-time parents are usually the ones that get sucked into it because they hear, oh, your child's going to be able to communicate faster and your child's going to be happier. And who doesn't want that for their kid? I'm sorry. Of course, if you can, like, make your kid happier and communicate faster, why wouldn't you do that? The problem is, like, why are you assuming they want to do that? One, and two, why are you assuming that the way that they're communicating with you doesn't work to begin with because they haven't even started yet?
They don't even know they're human. Like,
no,
I was
they
talking
don't know.
To him the other day, and I said, do you think that when babies look at adults, that they know that that person is the same species as them?
Right.
Like, they're going to be one of those someday?
Right.
And he was like, no. And which is, like, really upset me because it was like when I realized that my dog doesn't think in English.
Yeah. Like, it upset you the same way.
It upset me the same way.
I think the babies think that they are their parents.
Yeah.
I think that's how people get messed up. When they think that they are their mother.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, wait, really?
I mean, I just made that up, but I'm pretty sure that's true. If we Google it, I'm pretty sure that's true. I just made that up, but it makes sense to me.
Wow.
Let's Google it. I think it's true.
But
I think babies think they are their mother or their father, whoever their primary caregiver is.
That's gross. Because
I mean, of course it's gross. That's why everybody's messed up.
Oh, I know. I know. And I just remember Sesame Street being a lot for me when I was a kid. Like, I remember that being like, oh, man, like, there's so many things to learn. To think about. Like, I remember, like, this one Sesame Street where it was, like, Ernie in a rocket ship. And I was, like, trying desperately to explain to people. I was like, he's in a plane, but the plane is around stars. And, like, I remember desperately attempting to explain this to someone, and then just, like, I was like, draw the plane that Ernie was in. And they kept drawing planes. And I was like, no, it's a plane in stars. So no one understood that, which is, like, it's so hard to be a kid.
Sign language wouldn't have helped you either.
No, sign language, you, like, literally do not need another language because the one that you're surrounded by is hard enough.
Exactly. There's body language. There's everything. Parents, first-time parents, just know you don't need that. You're going to figure out everything with your kid. Sure, they're going to get frustrated, but adults get frustrated. Of course your baby's going to get frustrated. Just roll with it.
Just teach them the sign language for frustrated. Because I feel
like
that's
which is like crying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's crying. Yeah, totally.
Whatever. Just roll with it. Don't worry. Don't feel guilty about, like, not teaching your baby sign language. Don't feel guilty about, like, not going to classes. Just, like, give your kid what they need.
Yeah, it's tried and true.
And you know what? Everybody that does sign language with their first kid, they don't do it with their second kid. They don't do it with their third kid.
Yeah, that's real.
That's real.
Kelly, thank you for bringing that up. I don't know if anyone else that I have had or would have on my podcast.
I mean, nobody.
Would have known to bring that up. And I really appreciate that because that's, like, you know, something I think people need to hear. Sign language for babies is bullshit. You're an angel.
I'm going to get so much hate mail now.
No, send it all. Honestly, I say retarded, and I defended the word retarded with vigor last week. I was like, okay. I can say that word as much as I goddamn want.
Right.
Because I grew up saying I'm from Boston, and it's a Boston word. All right. Well, you guys, thanks so much, everyone, and also a mental condition. I'm so happy that we had Kelly here today. She's incredible. I'm a huge fan, and I think she's the best. All right. Thanks for listening. Please advise. Call 323-450-7408. Your mom. Bye.